book of Job and to the book of Job. And I want to preach to you this morning something that I hope will encourage you. That's our goal when preaching. And the last couple of weeks, God has just really visited with us in the services. We've just really been blessed in a special way. And I thank God for his blessings. But I thank him every time that he burdens our heart and he brings us to a scripture. And I have been struggling again this morning with where to preach. Amen. God has just laid a couple of different things on my heart and mind. And I almost preached our Sunday school lesson this morning. Was almost what, you know, I got to studying that. And I said, man, that preaches. And, you know, it just something that I could preach. And I almost do, I guess, sometimes when we are in Sunday school. But I try to keep that division, just like Jesus. He was a teacher, but he was a preacher. Amen. And there was times when he taught, and he done it one way. Times when he preached, I believe he done it another way. And I like that frame of mind. But God has really been visiting with us in our services. We got to see a young lady give her heart and life to Jesus last week. And God just stirring our hearts and stirring our lives. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a fellow left and said, I think that's the best message I've ever heard preach. And it wasn't nothing to do with me. It's the one who sent the message, amen, who it's all about. But I'm thankful that God has been meeting with us, amen. I'm thankful that God has been working in hearts and lives. But let me say this morning, you're here, amen. And God wants to speak to you this morning. God has a message for you. And if you'll receive his message, it'll stir your heart. If you found Job chapter 9, we'd invite you to stand if you're able as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to begin reading in Job chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not. Which overturneth them in his anger. Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not. And sealeth up the stars. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Which doth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Brother Jim K. may be seated. For those who may not be fully familiar with the story of Job and the account of Job in the Bible, Job was a man that had everything. The Bible says he was the wealthiest man, the richest man of the East. He was the Bill Gates, I believe, of his day and of his time. And God just blessed Job, and God blessed Job, and God blessed Job beyond measure, because Job had this testimony of God in himself. He was a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. That was God's testimony of Job. That was God's description of Job. Oh, that men today could have that testimony of God. Amen. That God would look upon you and say, there's a perfect man, one that fears God and eschews evil, which made Job perfect in his relationship with God. He realized who God was. He realized his place in God's place. He realized the blessings that God bestowed upon him, and he knew that all that he had because the hand of God was upon him. But then one day things happened. Things took a tremendous turnaround. In one day, Job lost everything that made him wealthy. Everything that the devil felt would cause Job to curse God. You see, sometimes the devil tries to convince us that our wealth is in the things that we have. But when they took all of Job's wealth, when the devil was allowed to destroy it all and even take his children, Job still praised God. Job still held his integrity because Job's wealth was not in his possessions, but in his relationship with God. And let me assure you of something today. The greatest possession, the greatest blessing, the greatest thing that you can have in this life is a right relationship with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's nothing that will make your life more satisfied. There's nothing that will bring your life more joy. There's nothing that will keep you more focused. There's nothing that will help you in your greatest times of trouble than having a right relationship with God. Amen. It's that thing that Job went through when he lost everything that helped him to be encouraged, that strengthened him, and helped him to get through even the loss of all his children, let alone his possessions. But the devil wasn't satisfied, and he came back to God, and he said, that's all well and good. That's all external, but let me get internal, and let me just touch his flesh. He said, eyes for eyes, skin for skin, teeth for teeth. He said, let me touch his body and he will curse you. And God said, you can do all that you want to do, you just can't take his life. And the devil went and he afflicted Job with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. I think boils are getting to be less common than what you used to see. But if you've ever had a boil, you know what a painful thing it is. And you can't stand for anything to touch that area where that boil is. Now I want you to imagine this boils from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. There's not a place that you can turn. There's not a way that you can move that your body is not going to be in severe agony because you have been afflicted with these boils. And Job is afflicted. And Job is sitting in the ashes with a fragment of a broken piece of pottery. And he's scraping the boils. And he's trying to get them to free up and to ease up and to find some relief. And Job's wife comes to him, and Job's wife looks at him and said, Job, why do you maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And Job said, you talk like a foolish one. He said, you don't even sound like the wife that I knew. You don't sound like the wife who had experienced the blessings that God had blessed with. You don't sound like the wife who'd been the wife of a man whom God had put so much blessings upon. And now God has blessed us and things just aren't going right. And you say, curse God. He said, naked I came out of the womb. Naked I shall return. He said, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not. Amen. And it wasn't too long before the word got out. You know, brother Job is sick. You know, old brother Job, he's afflicted. You know, old brother Job, he's got problems. And the friends began to show up. And the Bible says when his friends come. There was Bildad the Shuhite. There was Zophar the Naamathite. And there was Eliphaz the Temanite. They came. And when they seen Job afar off, the Bible says their hearts began to be stirred because of the condition that Job was in. And they came and they sat down with Job. And for several days, they all just sat there together. And nobody said a thing. And they began to look on Job's affliction, and they began to reason within themselves about why Job was in the state that he is in. And they began to speak to Job, and they began to tell Job, hey, you found yourself in this place because obviously you have done something to offend God. You found yourself in this place because your life has offended God in some way. But quite the contrary, according to God's testimony, Job was perfect, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And as Bildad finishes up his discourse with Job in chapter 8, he's telling Job, well, we all know that God blesses them that do good, and he curses them that does evil. God will pour himself out upon people who are living right and doing right. But when you change up, God is going to punish you. And you know, so many times in our lives and in our physical lives, we look at things and we look at situations, we look at people, and that's what we got in our frame of mind. That's what's in the back of our mind. Well, certainly they're going through what they're going through because they have sinned, because there's something not right. Their lives are, now, you can say amen or ouch. Amen. You know what happens. You know what happens. And we jump to conclusions. We jump to conclusions. But Job, as he begins to answer Bildad in chapter 9, begins to pour out some things. And in verse number 21, he says, though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. Job said, even though I was perfect, in other words, if I thought I was perfect, in mine eyes I'm perfect, in my eyes everything's all right, then obviously I really don't know my soul. Amen? Obviously I really don't know who I am. Let me tell you who I am this morning. I'm a no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves to be in hell who's been saved by the grace of God. That's all I can claim this morning. That's what I know that I am. Amen. Job said, if I was perfect, he said, I would not know my own soul. I want to ask you this morning, I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, how well do you know you? Amen. Look at what Job says in verse number 2. He says, let me start verse 1. He says, then Job answered and said, I know. You know, that's the problem with some of us. We all know, but we don't know what we think we know. Amen. I know, and we won't be taught. I know, and we won't listen. I know. You ever try to tell something to your kids when they're little and they're hard-headed, and they say, you try to start explaining, and they say, I know. I know. I know. Well, won't you stop and listen to what I'm going to finish telling you before you tell me what you know? Amen. Job says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? Job says, I know what we perceive as truth. I know it's so. I know God punishes the evil, and God rewards sin with the things that he does. I know God does these things. I know God blesses the righteous and the upright man. I know God does these things because that's the way we've been taught, and that's the way we think, and that's the way we understand things. Job says, I know it's so of a truth, but praise God, it's not so. It's not so. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. Right. Amen. Matter of fact, Job was doing everything right. And God wanted to use Job as an example unto the devil. God was using Job to prove to Satan himself that man would love him simply because he is God and not because of what he does. Amen? So many times we want God only when he's doing good, but when things aren't going as good, we don't want God anymore. Amen? We want God as long as we're on the mountaintop, but we get in the valley and we go running to everybody else and everything else, and we wonder, where is God? Why I'm down here in this valley? Job says, I know it's so, but praise God, I want you to know something this morning, that God loves you even when you're in your valley. God hasn't forsaken you even when things are low. God doesn't care about what everybody else thinks. God only cares about his perception of you. And his perception of you is a perception of love. The Bible says, for God so loved. Amen. God so loved. We can perceive what we want to in God's word. But do we perceive the truth of God's word? Job says, I know it's so of a truth, but it wasn't so. I know it's so of a truth. He says, but how should a man be just with God? Because God looks upon us and God chooses our lives and God chooses us on his own criteria. On his own motive. The truth of it is that the grace of God is what has sustained man from the fall. It was the grace of God that clothed Adam and Eve in their nakedness. It was the grace of God that proclaimed that the Savior would come. It was the grace of God that looked upon Noah and used Noah as a vessel to build a vessel to which life would be sustained. Noah found grace. Everybody says, well, Noah was a good man, a righteous man, and God chose Noah because he was the only godly man in the perverse generation. That's the same frame of mind that Job was just in. That's the same frame of mind that Bildad was just talking about. Job says, I know it's so of a truth, but it's not so. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. You know when I found grace? When I was a sinner on my way to hell. You know when I found grace? When I didn't deserve it. You know when I found grace? When I heard the old preacher tell me that Jesus loved me and sent a son to die for me. You know when I found grace? When I found truth. John 8:32, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. The truth didn't just set you free. The truth made you free. You know, I heard a preacher preach this not too long ago. And, you know, I never really give it a whole lot of thought between set free. I hear people quote it all the time. You should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Amen. There's a difference between being set free and being made free. Amen. There's a truth between getting free and being made free. Amen. During the days of slavery, there were all kinds of slaves. Harriet Tubman brought all kinds of slaves out of the South up the Underground Railroad and got them into Canada and got them into safety. They were set free, but they were never made free. Amen? Because there were slave hunters that would chase them down. And if they could find them, that individual might have escaped to freedom. Someone might have helped them escape to freedom. But that individual was still a slave in the eyes of the law and could be taken back and placed back into bondage. But you know what? The truth says the truth will make you free. There were slaves who had been emancipated. There are slaves who had bought their freedom. As one of the centurions is talking, talking to Paul. I couldn't remember if it was Paul or Peter. They both dealt with centurions. But as he was talking to Paul, he says, I bought my freedom. He said, I bought my freedom. How did you get yours? Paul said, I was born free. I was born free. You see, that there was a time when you could buy yourself out of bondage. You could buy yourself out of slavehood. Some slaves got free, and then they would buy their families. They would work and they'd labor to buy their families out of slavery. Once they were bought out of slavery, once they were paid for, they were free. They had been made free. They couldn't be declared a slave again. They couldn't be put back in bondage again because of what they were. Now they could be go back into bondage for breaking the law or sold back into slavery for an infraction against the government, against the Roman government. You could have wound back up as a slave. But when you're made free, you have the authority that the freedom brings. When you're made free from the bondage of sin, amen, you realize it wasn't anything that you could do, but it was by and through the grace of God. Amen. I couldn't make myself free. I couldn't set myself free. I could think I was free. And we talk all the time. We was asked a prayer request for a young man that's dealing with drug addictions this morning. I tell you all the time, a rebirth can do what rehab can't accomplish, because rehab keeps you in bondage. Rehab keeps you bound. Rehab keeps you in a place where you are what you were. But praise God, when Jesus makes you free, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God, you're no longer in bondage to the things that made you a slave to this world. Amen. Job said, I know of a truth. But he really didn't. He really didn't perceive the truth of God. He perceived the truth of man. Amen. And if you keep perceiving the truth of man for your life will remain in spiritual bondage. But if you can perceive the truth of God and realize that God can set you free. You know, we stay in bondage to all kinds of things. We stay in bondage to fear. We stay in bondage to finances. We stay in bondage to relationships. We stay in bondage to our jobs sometimes. We stay in bondage to all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. You can and you will be set free if you'll trust in Jesus. Amen. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And no matter how you perceive what you're going through, you need to get back to the Word of God, and you need to see the things that you're going through the eyes of God, and you begin to realize that what you have perceived to be truth isn't really truth at all. But truth is what is spoken. Truth is what's been delivered unto us. Truth is what is given to us through the Word of God. Job said, I know. Now, he was a man that was close to God. But he had a carnal perception of God. We need to get out of the world's perception and get into God's perception of His Word. Somebody posted, well, you know, I see stuff on Facebook all the time. I'm tired of all these Christians saying this and that. You know, they ought to act more like Jesus, and they ain't got a clue. It's coming from people who ain't got a clue who Jesus was. Who he is, what he did. Amen. And Jesus, he taught tolerance, and he taught inclusion, and he taught this, and he taught that. No, he didn't. He taught peace. He taught we shouldn't war. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Get in the Word. Perceive him through his word and not through what you want him to be. Perceived him for who he is and not who you've made him up to be. Perceive him for what he's done and not what you think he's done. And you'll see a different Jesus than the one that you've perceived. You'll see a different truth than the one that you perceived. Job goes on to say in verses 4 through 18. He says, I know God. I know God. Sometimes we know God when we're blessed, but when we're not getting as blessed as we once were, we wonder where God is. Well, let me tell you, he's right there where he was all the time. Amen. He's right there where he was all the time. He's doing what he wants to do and what he's done all the time. Amen. Listen, in verses 4 to 19, Job begins to declare that he knows God. In verse number 4, he says, he's wise in heart and mighty in strength. And he begins to lay out this platform of what he knows about God. In verse 5, he says, nobody can stand against him. In verses 6 to 9, he says he's in complete control of the natural forces of nature in this world. In verses 10 to 11, he says, he's amazing in his abilities. In verses 12 to 16, he says he's unquestionable in all his actions. And in verses 17 to 18, he says, my life is in his hands. And you know, as we stop and think about that, we can know God, and we think some people call him the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs, he's God. Amen. Some people say, the old fella in the sky. He's not the old fella in the sky. He's God. Amen. Some people say, I know that he's in control of so much, but nature does this and nature does that. Let me tell you something. Nature doesn't do one thing that God doesn't orchestrate that it does. Amen. Let me tell you what. He can do anything. He can be anywhere. Amen. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. That means he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's always present. Amen. There's nothing that you can fully and totally understand and comprehend. As much as we know about God, we realize that we don't know as much as we thought. The more that we learn, the more, I tell you what, God just does things that blows my mind away still. Amen. Amen. He never ceases to amaze me. He's beyond knowing. He told Abraham in chapter 17, he says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Job says, look, he says, I know God. Job knew the God that had provided. Job knew the God that had blessed. Job knew the God that was always there and ever present in his life. Job knew that God. But when the devil came and the devil afflicted Job and God became silent, Job didn't know that God. Amen. He said, I wish I knew where he was. I would plead my cause with him. If I could find him, I could contend with him. But I don't know where he's at. Why? Because sometimes we don't really fully grasp God. Job said, I know that he can shake the foundations and the pillars of the earth there in 4 to 18, or whatever, 6 to 18, whatever the verses are there, 6 to 18, I guess it is. He says, I know that he can shake the foundations of the world. I know that he can do all these things. And I know that he's a mighty God. He's hung the stars in the heaven. He's laid out creation before us. He walks on the waves of the sea. And yet he can pass by me and I won't even perceive that he's there. Can you imagine, can you fathom a God like that? People say, well, God, you can't be in the presence of God and not know he's there. Oh, yeah, you can. Amen. Job said he can pass by me and I won't even perceive that he's there. Job was going through a problem. Job was going through a storm. And God was right there the whole time. God had never left him. God had never forsaken him. God had allowed circumstances to change in Job's life. But God was still right where he always was. watching over Job. You say, well, I don't understand that. Then why did he allow Job to go through what he was going through? Because Job needed to go through that for the glory of God. Amen? Why did Job go through what he went through? In the end, so that God could be glorified in it. Amen? In the end, so that God could be uplifted in it. Why do you think God put Job in the Bible for us to see, so that we can realize and we can know that sometimes God's blessings to us aren't always what we think they should be, and God's reaction to us and God's dealing with us isn't always in the way that we want it to be, but God has a purpose in everything that he brings us to, and that purpose is to ultimately give him glory. Amen. Amen. And along the way, it helps us to realize his great goodness, his great mercy, his great care, his great desire for us. Job says, I know of a truth. But Job only knew his truth. Job says, I know God. But he only knew what his perception of God was, instead of who God really was. And Job says, I know me. I know me. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if a judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. In this, Job was true. In this, Job got down to reality. I can't fully and wholly understand God, but I know me. You know who knows you this morning better than you? Just God. You know who knows your heart and your life this morning other than you? It's God. You know who you can't fool this morning? It's God. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. He knows your reluctance to do the things that he wants you to do. He even knows how you've received this message this morning, how you receive his word. Job says, if I try to justify myself, he said, I'd only condemn myself. And many times this morning we sit around and we try to justify ourselves. We go through problems and we try to justify ourselves. And the more we try to justify ourselves, the more we realize we deserve absolutely what we're going through, if not more. We try to justify ourselves and we got to make excuses to justify ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Because we can find a reason for everything. We can make up an excuse and a reason for anything we want to do. Some people are real good at it. I know I can come up with all kinds of reasons when I don't want to do something. I can come up with all kinds of reasons. Amen? And they satisfy me. Amen? I'm too busy. I'm too sick. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. We can come up with all kinds of reasons. But the only thing they do is wind up condemning us. Job said, if I try to justify myself, if I try to come up with reasons, I will only justify condemning myself. That's the only thing I can justify. He said, if I claim that there's nothing wrong, he said, I wouldn't even know my own soul. because I know I'm a sinner. If I try to plead my righteousness, if I try to plead my goodness, if I try to plead that I'm worthy, he said, I'm pleading for the wrong person because I wouldn't even know my soul. I wouldn't even be pleading who I am. Now, that's the problem this morning. A lot of us, we don't want to plead who we are. We want to plead who we perceive ourselves to be. God said there's none righteous, no, not one. But then he saves us, and every life that he touched in the Bible, as he sends them on, he tells them to go and sin no more. To go on and sin not. Is that the life that we truly have? Is that the life that we're truly living? A life that's perfect and manifest before God in the way that it should be. I don't know about you, but that doesn't describe me. I let him down every day. I let him down every moment. I don't always do what I should do, but I know this, that I can plead the blood. I can plead his righteousness. I can plead his goodness. I can plead his blood upon my life, his work upon my life. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. I can't begin to compete with God. I can't plead my goodness to God. I can't plead my sinlessness to God. I can plead that I'm a sinner. Look at what Paul said there. He says, that God sent his son to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. Notice he did not use the past tense. He said, I've done things ignorantly. I was injurious to the church. He said, but I obtained mercy. He didn't say that Christ came to die for sinners, of whom I was chief. But he says, of whom I am chief. Church, if we want to move to where God wants us to move, if we want to be where God wants us to be, if we want to go through whatever we're going through the way that God wants us to go through it, we got to draw close to God on his terms. We got to realize our inability. We got to realize our unworthiness. We got to realize that nothing apart from Christ can bring us to the place where we need to be. Job goes on down and he contends a lot of things. But in verse 32 it says, for he's not a man as I am that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Praise God, he gets to the place to where he knows that God knows him. He says, neither is there any day man betwixt us that might lay his hands upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. He says, then would I speak and would not fear him. But it is not so with me, because I have come to the place. Or Job hasn't come to the place to where he realizes that in and of himself there's nothing. There's nothing that makes him worthy to come before the throne of God. But you see, in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Savior. They were looking forward to a helper. They were looking forward to the one that would come and bring deliverance. Job says, there's no day man betwixt us. There's no one in between. There's not a mediator. There's not a moderator. There's not an umpire that stands between us. And therefore, even though he hears me, he said, I would have to fear him, because I'd have to stand in who I am. We got folks today that are trusting everything and everybody as a mediator. In Hebrews, it says, and talking about Jesus, it says, and for this cause, what cause? Him coming and laying down his life. Him coming fulfilling the very law of God. Him coming and dying a sinless death. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Timothy says, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Job says, then would I speak and not fear him, but it's not so with me. Friends, we don't have to go through what we're going through. We don't have to face the uncertainties of life. We have the Word of God that helps us and encourages us and helps us to realize and perceive how God's love and His mercy to us. How we have the Word of God that tells us of His power and His divine hand upon mankind and how He moves. How we have the witness and the testimony of what happened in Job's life. How God allowed things to happen that Job didn't understand, and how He brings things into our lives that we may not comprehend and may not perceive until He needs us to do it and to know it, that we might give glory unto Him. But He also lets us know in His Word that we're no longer looking forward, we're looking backward, how we no longer have to stand in our own selves and in our own righteousness according to the law before a thrice holy God. But praise God, we have a mediator between us and God, one that pleads our cause, one that pleads our case, one that pleads the blood on our behalf. And praise God this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at in your life spiritually. But there's help in Jesus for you this morning. Brother Jim says,